This is Sky Blues Extra.
Hello and welcome to the Sky Blues Extra podcast, which as always is kindly sponsored by Shortland Horne, Coventry's leading estate agents. My name is Tom Ward and I'm joined this evening by Ross.
Evening, Wardy, how are you?
Evening, mate. Yeah, I'm not too bad, thank you. And also joined by Andy.
How you doing, Tom, mate? You all right?
Yeah, not too bad, mate. Thanks for joining me, chaps. This evening, we'll be looking back at the Sky Blues Cup exit to Northampton on Wednesday, as well as the 1-0 defeat away at Barnsley on Saturday. And we will also be previewing the upcoming fixtures against Blackpool and Reading. Andy, I'll start with you. What's your sort of overriding feeling from this week and in particular yesterday's result?
Typical life of a Cough fan. Isn't it, Tom?
Football's back.
Yeah, it is, big time. You go from beating Forest 2-1 last minute to losing in the League Cup to Northampton, deservedly as well, by all accounts, and then playing Barnsley off the park and losing and missing a last-minute penalty. So, typical week of being a Sky Blue fan, really, Tom.
Yeah.
Frustrating as hell. From the elation from Saturday to what happened yesterday. So, but no, yeah. typical cough, I'm afraid.
Yeah, exactly. Normal service resumed, really, isn't it?
Absolutely, mate. Yeah. But we wouldn't have it any other way, would we? At least it's interesting.
No, exactly. Ross, how are you feeling about things? I guess it's always frustrating, isn't it, when you dominate a game like yesterday and you have a golden chance at the end to get a point and we just didn't take it, did we?
Yeah, it is frustrating. I mean, anyone who obviously watched the lives last year know that none of us are good losers, really. And you don't like losing, and it's frustrating, and I get very frustrated. But I mean, especially when you get a penalty in the last minute, and it's the least we deserved. We should have won the game. To sort of go to a team who got in the playoffs last year and to dominate them, to then lose the game and have such a golden chance at the end and not take it. It is frustrating and you can't hide your frustration. But you have to try and look at the bigger picture, don't you? And think mm-hmm. that this time last year, pretty much it was the third game of the season last year. We went to Barnsley away, drew a goalless draw. We had one chance, I think, when Ostergaard hit the bar. But other than that, we did nothing. We were very timid and tentative mm-hmm. and trying to find our feet. And already this season, two games in the league, We look like we're more confident in what we want to do. We feel like we belong at this level, the players who were here last year. And it's testament to us that we went to a team who got into the playoffs last year and we've played them off the park and we should have come away winning by, two or three goals, really. And it's just a shame that we've lost the game.
Yeah, exactly. We definitely look more established, don't we? I feel.
Absolutely.
I feel like last season we did feel a bit like a League One team that was sort of punching above their weight, but I don't know. I just feel like the way we carried ourselves yesterday, we just feel a bit more like an established team, don't we, Ross?
Well. Remember last year, we spoke about it every game because obviously we could watch the games on iFollow. We waited until we were 2-0 down until we started showing any bravery last year. It was really frustrating to watch because we weren't seeing the confidence from the League One winning side. But I feel like that sort of confidence in ourselves, the self-belief has come back. And that started with a comeback against Forest and the second half performance there. And then yesterday, creating these chances, going away from home. And yes, at the end of the day, it's about results. But I feel like if we continue to play on the front foot rather than trying to feel our way into games, we'll win a lot more than we did last season.
Yeah, 100%. On a positive note, this week, we obviously got a new body through the door in the shape of Jake Clark-Salter. Andy, what do you feel he's going to add to the side?
Left-footed, Tom.
Yeah,
which is a godsend. Finally, I'm fed up of seeing Dom playing left-sided and playing back on his right foot. It does my head in. So nice balance. It gives us balance, which is what's much needed. He's played in the Championship, obviously, before. Mm. He's played for Chelsea as well. So, he's made his debut for them in the Premier League. So he's got a lot of pedigree. He's good on the ball. He brings it out really, really well. And I think he's a leader as well, what I can hear from what I've heard around the camp. So it's a really exciting signing. And I think when he gets bedded in, he'll be a really decent addition.
Yeah, absolutely. Look forward to seeing more from him. Let's go into the Northampton game in a little bit more detail. Andy, what were the match stats for that one?
Yeah, it's frustrating again with this game regarding the stats. Again, we dominated the ball. We had 66 possession compared to their 44%. We had 469 total passes compared to their 243. Mm. So again, it shows that we just dominated the ball. Shots, we had 7, but they had 10. So that was decent on their part.
Yeah.
Probably more second half for them, wasn't it, Tom, I think?
Yeah.
And we had only 2 on target compared to their 4. So it's similar problem again. We made a few chances, but again, the shot ratio to percentage wasn't very good, was it, again, Tom, which was disappointing. Exactly. And
especially that second half. We barely got in the box second half, did we?
It just completely just petered out, didn't it?
Yeah.
I just felt like we were never, ever going to score. It just felt like the game just petered out.
It went flat, didn't it?
It went flat. And that's disappointing because there was a lot of players there that, you know, should be stating the claim for the first team. And they kind of didn't take their chance, did they, Tom?
Yeah, I think it opened everyone's eyes up a little bit, didn't it? Because, you know, the one thing I sort of saw was the left wing backs and the right wing back, you know, second options that we've got clearly just aren't really strong enough at the moment.
No.
And you just think, you know, if Dabo was to get injured again, we could be in real trouble. So I think it did open everyone's eyes up a little bit that perhaps we, you know, the squad isn't quite as strong as we thought. And we're going to have to hope we obviously get a bit of luck with injuries last season.
Let's hope it's open day Boddy's checkbook up.
Yeah, hopefully.
Or loan market book up.
Yeah, well, yeah, I think there was talk of perhaps a couple more Boddy's going to come in still. We'll have to see.
Yeah, it'd be nice.
I think it'll be nice. One of the massive positives, obviously, from the other night was Jody Jones making his debut. Sorry, not his debut. His first start. It feels like his debut. His first start since November 2018, Ross. That was pleasing, wasn't it, to see him in that lineup?
Oh, brilliant. It was, you know, he deserved it. And I think we all felt it was an ideal game for him to get a start after he'd come on and impressed, obviously, against Forest at the weekend. And if there's anyone who deserves some good luck, it's Jody Jones. Mm. I mean, three ACLs, he's worked back every single time. And I just hope, you feel like he just deserves to stay fit. And if he can stay fit and then he can gain in confidence and he can play more minutes and he can get sharper, then I think he will literally be like a new signing. Yeah, people use that cliche all the time. But with him, it literally will be. Like the last time we saw him properly play, you know, countless games back to back was several seasons ago in League Two. You know, he came back in League One and then played a couple before he got injured again. So I think he's a really exciting player. He's still very, very young. It was great for him to get a start. And I think that sort of game against a League Two side is what he needs to build up that confidence. You know, they're quite physical. They'll get into him. They'll make challenges just to make sure that he's brave and build his confidence in that way. But it was great to see him get a start.
Yeah, absolutely. We started brightly, Andy, and actually 13 minutes in, we carved Northampton open and Tyler Walker got the opener.
Yeah, good finish by Walker and kind of like carried on from his performance from Forest when he came off the bench, didn't it? It kind of, it was a decent finish, first time into the net, with no doubt. He's a good finisher, isn't he, Tyler? Yeah, when he gets the opportunity, he more than often bags, doesn't he? So, it was a really good finish, and we just thought from there on onwards it was going to be plain sailing, didn't we? But unfortunately, it wasn't.
Yeah, exactly. And I thought another interesting performance was Bright. Obviously, he looked pretty lively in those opening minutes, but did feel like he went a little bit missing after that, but probably down to his fitness, really, isn't it, Ross?
Yes, I think so. I think Mark Robbins has come out and said, hasn't he, a couple of times about he needs to get up to the fitness levels of the Championship and to get his work rate to the point to where he can then is fit enough. Because we all know that the talent he's got, that when he is fit, when he can come on and impact a game, yesterday may even have been an ideal situation for Bright to come on. Do you know what I mean? 20, 25 minutes, you know, because we know he's, ability-wise, he's arguably probably one of the best players in the squad, natural ability. But he needs to obviously get fit because he's someone who we didn't have last year. So when a fit Bright adds, you know, we talk about fullback depth, strength and depth, but I think actually in that sort of attacking area, we have improved and we have got someone who in Bright who could be on the bench, who you go, you know what, him and Jody Jones, who we've spoke about, they can come on and make an impact. But he did look lively, but it's getting up to the speed again of that competitive football, but hopefully that will come.
Yeah, 100%. We had a huge opportunity to make it 2-0, to really sort of kill the game off, but Shipley fired it over the bar. This was a real wasted opportunity, wasn't it, Andy?
Huge, especially with his shooting power and accuracy normally. It's normally quite decent. Unfortunately, kind of sums, I don't want to be harsh on Shippers, but kind of sums his season up last season and the start of this season. He just doesn't seem to, when he gets an opportunity, doesn't seem to take it, does he?
It's weird, isn't it, Andy? Because he's good at the ones outside the box.
Yeah, he is. He normally
is. The close ones, he struggles with. It's strange, isn't it?
Very strange. Very strange. You, like you say, he's razor sharp from outside the box, isn't he? But like, yeah, he's unfortunately on this occasion just put over the bar. And another player, not the first one out of the 11 that just didn't take his opportunity, Tom.
Yeah, absolutely. The second half, let's be honest, was pretty poor. I was there and it wasn't great, to be honest. It was quite flat, as Andy said. I think Mark Robbins was probably fair in his comments around Northampton's two goals, describing them as horrific, Ross. They weren't the best goals ever, were they?
I mean, I watched them a couple of times. I mean, it wasn't necessarily just the goals. I mean, some of the chances, you know, they got, it was like, you couldn't believe how it was happening. I mean, the goals were horrendous. I mean, obviously Drisdale for the first one goes in, loses a header, and then suddenly we've got literally, there's a massive hole carved open. You know, he's supposed to be the centre-back. The other centre-back, Rose, is miles away, and then they're through, and you sort of question, could Wilson have done better? And then the second one, he definitely should have done better. And it's, but there was just other chances. You know, in the first half, they had chances, didn't they? And they, you know, and there was like, all over the place defensively. I think that was the biggest concern. I mean, the goals were horrendous. Robbins was absolutely right. They were shocking. They were absolutely shocking to watch. And I tried to quickly move on from watching them as quickly as possible, really.
And Andy, were you sort of disappointed to be knocked out of the cup, or are you going with the sort of cliche, concentrate on the league now?
I do now. Yeah, to be honest, we haven't got the squad depth, have we?
No, we haven't really.
I'd rather do better in the FA Cup.
Exactly. And I think they've even cut the prize money for the Carabao Cup, haven't they? So, you know, unless you get a big tie at home, it's not really much in it, is there?
It's lost its romance a little bit, hasn't it? And, you know, I think with our, the way, you know, it's fair play if you've got a squad depth that you can change people around. But we just haven't. We haven't got that ability to do that, unfortunately. It showed the other night that, unfortunately, some of our fringe players are just not ready at the moment. So, no, not too disappointed with that, because the more you get going deeper into rounds, the more injuries you're going to get, aren't you?
Yeah, exactly. And we definitely can't afford those. No. Ross, is squad depth something that you're concerned about? Did it sort of open your eyes a bit the other night?
I mean, it's an interesting one, isn't it? Because there was Jamie Allen was captain on the night, and I thought he was someone earlier in the summer. I thought he's going to go.
I think.
Well, that, and yes, and he came on yesterday, didn't he? Won the penalty, and suddenly I sort of go, actually, maybe, you know, there is a player there. We saw that there is a player there, and last season he struggled, but so did other players. And you sort of wonder, well, actually, maybe he's probably the only one. You know, Bright's obviously building up his fitness. In terms of defensively, you can sort of understand why Mark Robbins has wanted to bring in Jake Clark-Salter and probably another defender, I'm assuming it's a defender of the other loan that he's mentioned, because none of those who played against Northampton have been pushing. And yes, it is frustrating, because you want players like Jordan Shipley and that to be staking a claim. And unfortunately, not many did. And obviously, because we're out of the competition, there isn't going to be another game like that for them to try and stake a claim. So they're going to have to work in training. And then when they do get an opportunity in the league, they're going to have to try and take it.
Yeah. And I'll grab a man of the match from you both. I know it's probably not a huge number of people to choose from here. But Andy, who was your star man on the night?
You and Dean for going.
Oh, you stole it. I was going to say that. I was going to say you too.
Sorry, mate. Yeah, I got it off you.
I had nothing better to do, mate.
you must not have done.
It was better than watching Love Island anyway.
Yeah, point. Fair point. I will go for Tyler Walker, mate. I thought he was, he took his goal well, and I thought he looked pretty sharp.
Ross?
Yeah, I'd agree. I think he should have had a hat trick, to be fair. I think Jordan Shipley, he should have squared it to him. I paused the freeze frame. I mean, he misses the target, which is a joke, but if he lays it across, he scores. And then he had that disallowed goal, which, watching back, I think arguably is onside as well. So I'd give it to Tyler Walker. I agree.
You're listening to Sky Blues Extra.
We're now going to move on and talk about the Barnsley game on Saturday. Obviously, the Sky Blues travelled to Oakwell and unfortunately fell to a 1-0 defeat. Andy, what were the match stats for this one?
Complete domination, Tom, from start to finish. We had 62% possession compared to their 38%. Regarding completed passes, we had 272 compared to their 129. So again, we just played them off the park, you know, dominated possession, which is really good to see. That's a good stat to see.
Especially away from home.
Especially away from home. You know, especially because it was their first game back in front of their fans as well, wasn't it? So you'd think they'd be right ratting in on it. So to complete the ball and, you know, dominate the play like we do is fantastic. And that's good signs going forward as well, Tom. Again, but it's the biggest bugbear was for me for last season, reared its ugly head again, Tom, was we had 12 goal attempts, shots, and we only had two on target. Which again, it's just the low percentage of that is just mirrors last season away from home. And it just really annoys me. You know, we just need to be a lot more better in that final third, don't we, Tom? It's just that final ball, isn't it? And the final strike. It's nothing in between, because in between our play is great. We keep the ball brilliantly. It's just that final ball, isn't it? The final killer ball, and then we'll be well away and we'll be doing really well this season. It's just that thing that's missing on our play at the moment, Tom, which is quite frustrating.
Yeah, which shows, you know, we're not too far off, are we?
No, being
the full package, really.
Absolutely not. And I know that Robin said that this season he wants the lads to be more on the front foot. And I think that's a great way of going about things. Last season, like you said earlier in the pod, that we did look like a League One side in the Championship. But this season, it looks different to me. I don't know if it looks different to you two as well. Yeah. It looks like we are more confident and we look like we're more attacking, don't we? We look like we're more on the front foot, and Robbins wants that from the lads. We're just missing that killer touch at the minute.
Yeah. Obviously, the lineups came out, Ross. Were there any surprises on there for you? Was it about what you expected?
No, pretty much what I expected. I guess the only one was obviously Tyler Walker. You know, he got a start. Obviously, Martin Waghorn was obviously moved to the bench, but I guess after his goal in midweek, he probably earned it. And obviously, unfortunately, obviously got the injury. But no, the rest of the lineup was what we expected. And the only other, obviously, one from Forrest was obviously Mattson. Sort of obviously got a little knock, hadn't he? So I was grateful that he was back in the starting 11. Yeah. But the lineup was how I guess we expected, and it was an encouraging lineup again because of, you know, obviously what we did against Forrest the week prior.
Yeah, and something that Dave mentioned on the pod last week was the bench looking a little bit thin. I thought the same on Saturday. I don't know what you thought of it, Ross, but you just look at it and there's not too many players you think could come on and change the game on our bench at the moment. Do you feel like that as well?
When you look at the bench, it was Jake Clark-Salter, Jody Jones, Jamie Allen, Martin Waghorn, obviously Ben Wilson, Jordan Shipley and Julian DaCosta. And then of those, you sort of look at it and go, well, Jody Jones, I think, could make a difference. He obviously didn't come on. Jamie Allen, you know, he's sort of playing a little bit more. And obviously Waghorn's the only sort of striker on the bench. We're missing Bright and Matty Godden on that bench. Suddenly makes it look a lot different. And if those two are on the bench for, let's say, Jordan Shipley, let's say Bright is in place of him, and then Matty Godden's on for, I don't know, somebody like DaCosta or something, you know, then you suddenly look and go, actually, we've got options to change it. But I do agree. I feel like in that midfield, and I still think central midfield wise, Kelly as well. Kelly, great point.
Yeah.
Because he could be starting, and then you could have Hamer or someone to bring on, you know, and it just adds those options. So I do agree. At the moment, I feel like he's waiting for those players to come back. And by all accounts, they're not too far away.
Yeah, they're on the grass.
They're on the grass, so well, that's good. Yeah. And hopefully they'll be back. But I do agree. I sort of looked at the bench and I thought, I was a bit gutted when I didn't see Bright there. I mean, I know he's obviously not fit enough, but I just thought even if you could lob him on for 10, 15 minutes, you know, you feel like he can do something. What harm can it do? It helps him get some minutes and some match sharpness, and he can do something, you know. But yes, I do agree. And that's something that hopefully once those players come back fit, the bench will start looking a bit better.
We started really, really well, flew out of the blocks, and O'Hare had a chance in the first 2 minutes, Andy.
Has to score, doesn't he? Big opportunity on the edge of the area. Just didn't connect, did he, Tom? He just didn't get it right. And that's the difference between him and playing in the Premier League, in my opinion. If he could score goals, he wouldn't be playing for us.
No, exactly. Exactly. Maybe it's better if he doesn't.
Perhaps it is. You know, and you've got that point. But I just think he could just weigh in with a few more. It would help our cause a little bit more, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it definitely
would. But yeah, unfortunately, just didn't connect right, Callan.
Yeah.
Because that would have set us on our way, wouldn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Tyler Walker obviously went down injured. I haven't heard too much about the injury, but it looked to be a shoulder, Ross.
Yeah, it did. So it's one of those where you sort of hope. It's frustrating for him because, you know, he scored in midweek, gets his start, and then he doesn't last, you know, doesn't last long until he's sort of injured. So I don't know. I'd seen some murmurings on social media of like 3 weeks or something. I don't
Not
know.
Too exactly, bad, is it?
Which wouldn't be too bad, no. So let's hope, if anything, if that's the best case scenario, that it is that, and he's not out long term. Because, like you said, Andy, earlier on, I think you could make a case for him being arguably one of the sort of best finishers, out of the strikers, you know, along with Godden as well. I just feel like some of his goals towards the end of the last season, I think everyone was hoping that actually, you know what, he's got potential to maybe get pushed 12 to 15 goals, you know, playing a bit more confidence. And obviously, hopefully this won't set him back too much, but it's a shame for him to have got injured and obviously he had to come off.
And we hit the bar in the 16th minute. This was a terrific move down the left, wasn't it, Andy? Started with a lovely ball from Sheaf and a brilliant cross from Mattson. Jokeres did well to get over and get his shot in, but obviously it tinged off the bar.
Yeah, a bit unlucky, really. A lot of people were saying at the time he has to score. But for me,
he's done what he can, yeah.
No, I don't think he could do any more. Great ball by Sheaf initially out to Mattson, and brilliant delivery by Mattson, because it was on the like half volley kind of ball.
I love the way he headed it as well to sort of control the ball as well. It was brilliant,
really,
wasn't it?
Really good technique. And I think Vic did all he could. He stretched as much as he could, and he's just unlucky that it hit the bar. Another day that goes in off the bar, doesn't it? It's just an unfortunate incident. I thought that was a lovely move, and just unfortunately didn't hit the back of the net.
Yeah. Let's talk about the Barnsley goal. We got completely carved open here, didn't we, Ross? Who was at fault here for you?
I think we lost the battle in the field. I think Adom Higham, he takes that step up, doesn't he? He suddenly reacts late to try and play him offside, and then suddenly the guy's through. And I just think if he just carries on running back without sort of having that delayed reaction of trying to step up, then I think he gets back and he probably stops the shot. So it was a real disappointing goal. And it's like, Andy, like you said earlier, you know, we create all these unbelievable chances, but we don't hit the target anywhere near enough. And yet we gift these easy, it seems like they don't have to work very hard for that goal at all, literally. And it was a frustrating goal to concede. I mean, I'd probably say, I don't know. I mean, we should do better in midfield, but then defensively, I mean, the amount of space he had. I mean, when do we get away with like a chance like that? It didn't seem to happen to us. We seem to have to play really nice, intricate football and create a great chance, you know. And the guys got basically the whole half to run one on one. So yeah, very frustrating.
I liked your comment, made me laugh, Grizzo, that Higham was playing half of Barnsley onside.
Yeah, he was. And quite good that you went to Ross with this.
because, I know you're not happy about it, Andy.
No, I'm not. He just completely played, you know, like I said, half of Barnsley onside. He was just wasn't in line with Fads and Rose, was he? He's just completely played him on. And the thing with Higham, and one of his weaknesses, is that he's not very quick and he was never going to get back to get him. And it was a good finish by the lad, but it was far too easy.
Yeah.
Far too easy, and it was just poor. When, you know, one thing you taught really young, you've got to be in line with all, when you're playing centre-half, you've got to be in line with your other centre-half.
Yeah.
He switches off, doesn't he? He just switches off for a couple of seconds.
Yeah.
And he reacts late, and it's bitterly disappointing.
It is. It's poor.
It's a bad time to concede as well, isn't it, Andy?
Yeah, of course it is. Just, you know, it's just before the break. Yeah, it's just the worst time to score.
Away from home.
Away from home, either before half time or just after half time,
especially when you should be 2-0 up. We should be 2-0 up. We should be cruising, and then you almost give them a leg up without really having to do anything at all.
Yeah, and also it doesn't help because then their fans start getting up for the game, and you know we quiet them down quite nicely with our play probably first half, didn't we? So
it just gets
their atmosphere, whips them up a bit. It just does. Just like Tom says, it's the worst time to concede a goal, really.
But it was encouraging to see us coming out fighting second half. Mm. And, you know, we sort of stayed on top of them, didn't we, Ross?
Yeah, we did. And that's like we've spoke about, we've all mentioned, you know, this season, there seems to be that belief of, okay, fine, never mind, you know, and we'll go again. And in the second half, we created countless opportunities and we kept fighting till, you know, to the final whistle. But again, it is just frustrating when you don't hit the target, you can't score. And you know, Andy spoke about the stats earlier on. We did come out and there's a lot of encouragement. I take a lot of, I'm sort of buzzing with the performance, if you like. Do you know what I mean? In terms of being on the front foot. There's games last season we lost and there was very little to talk about. The game had been done and then we sort of started showing a bit of fight. But we were fighting from the way before they even scored. And the second half, we did the same. But yeah, we certainly came out. We created chances. O'Hare was a menace for the Barnsley defence. And it was just a shame. We just couldn't put the ball in the back of the net.
Mm. And I think it was fairly obvious what Barnsley's tactics were, that were to, you know, bring our hair down by whatever means, really. And it just felt like every time he ran forwards, he was getting kicked, wasn't he, Andy?
Yeah, they probably identified Cow as our main threat before the game. And, you know, dreadful, really, you know, the way they went about it. Poor, you know, you know, Barnsley, you know, last season, they were good footballing side, weren't they, Tom? So, you know, you don't need to be going around kicking people off the pitch.
Yeah, 8 yellow cards is ridiculous.
Yeah, really, that's really hard.
For a team to get in one game.
Really, really high, especially at home as well.
Yeah.
You know, normally you get away with a few at home, don't you? So, and I do love Cal's reaction to it all. You know, stood up to him, wanted a bit back, didn't he? So, yeah, fair play to Cal for that.
He probably got fed up with it, to be honest, didn't he, in the end?
Of course he did. Yeah, but you've got to take it as a compliment, you know.
Yeah.
Jack Grealish gets fouled, no end.
Exactly, yeah.
You know, you just got to get up, dust it down, take it as a compliment and just believe that you're the best player on the pitch because he is.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a really good performance from Cal yesterday. But as you mentioned, Andy, one of the frustrating things is his finishing. Rossi obviously had that chance when he ran at the defence really well, but he blazed his shot over. That is an area of his game, isn't it, that he needs to work on? And when he does, he'll be some player.
Oh, he will be. And we will benefit. He will get a big move. We'll get a big fee when that happens. And it is just, it's the only thing missing from his game, really. I mean, last season he finished with 3 goals and 8 assists. You know, John Shipley scored as many goals as him. You know, and you think of the chances that Callum O'Hare had, and that was the one thing. It's just that final end product. And as you mentioned, that chance over the bar, and then he had the one in the first half. If he can just find that sort of finishing touch a bit more regularly, he genuinely, I genuinely think he'd get at least 10 goals. I really do. Because you think of the chances last season, and you, every game, if we played well last season, and this was when we weren't on the front foot, a good chance seemed to fall to him. Like, he's the one who either makes something happen, gets a great chance, gets in the box. And sometimes I'd just like to see him. He just needs to hit the target, obviously. But that will come. And I feel like once that does happen, unfortunately, I don't think he'll be with us that long. Do you know what I mean? Once that is the thing missing from his game. And once he starts scoring, then everyone will sit up and take notice. But hopefully that does happen, because I certainly feel like this season and this league is there for the taking. And if Callum O'Hare can start scoring, then there's no reason why we can't push into the top half.
Yeah, 100%. Mark Roberts did make some changes in the game. He brought Clark Salter on and Allen to replace Rose and Sheaf. What did you make of the subs, Andy?
Well, to be honest, it's like you said earlier, the bench is quite thin, isn't it? You know, not much he could do. A bit surprised Jody didn't come on. Maybe he was feeling the effects of Tuesday, maybe.
Yeah, maybe protect him a little bit. You know,
yeah,
with what they're doing to Cal, they probably thought,
Probably
keep him wrapped up.
Leave it for that weekend. Yeah, you know, we don't want him to get injured again. But no, it's, I suppose Alan, what he was thinking is obviously Alan's probably more of an attacking threat than Sheaf, isn't he? So more direct with his running, and it proved that with the penalty. So that's probably why he made that sub with Alan, and then Clark Salter and on for Rose is just like, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Ross, were you impressed with what you saw from Clark Salter? I know he didn't play too many minutes, but yeah, what did you make of his performance?
Yeah, no, I think he looked good. He's got pace, and as we've all mentioned for a long time here, you know, having someone who's naturally left-footed, I think it would just enhance what we can do. And he's obviously got pedigree, he's got technical ability, and it's good that he knows a couple of the players here. And I'm excited to see more of him, and I think it's just a matter of time before he starts, maybe even maybe even on Tuesday. I'm excited to see more. I think there was really encouraging signs considering he's not had that long with the team. But I feel like he'll settle in, and I feel another loan sort of loving coming potentially with him this season.
Yeah. Now, lads, I'm afraid we are going to have to talk about the penalty. I know we're all dreading it and we want to move on with our lives, but we will talk about it. First of all, it was a great bit of work from Alan to win the pen, wasn't it, Andy?
Yeah, brilliant. Yeah, really tenacious by Jamie. And that's what he was doing, you know, when we won the league, wasn't he? Really tenacious play. He has got that in his locker. You know, he is a champion. He has played in the championship before with Burton. Yep. So, you know, it's just a shame that he's not shown that enough for us. And he won the penalty really well, fought for it well. The defender came across him. It was a definite penalty. I don't know why the ref was taking 5 years to give it.
Yeah, I think he went off the lino's decision.
I know. I was like, what are you doing?
Yeah, he's right in front of it.
I know. It was like, mate, just give it. And like, but no, good play by Jamie Allen. And, you know, maybe with Robin seeing that, he might be getting, I don't know, give him a start maybe, or, you know, think about throwing him off the bench again. No, good.
Yeah, definitely. And obviously it's been much debated on Twitter over the last 24 hours around who should have taken the penalty. It didn't feel like anyone was particularly stepping forward for it. What were your thoughts on this, Ross, on this situation?
I mean, obviously you were there, obviously, Wardy, so you'd have, you know, seen more footage than I guess a lot of us would have been able to see. But I mean, when I saw that the penalty was awarded, I was thinking, great, you know, Waghorn's on the pitch. He took the one against Wolves, which was obviously in the preseason friendly, and he dispatched that. You know, he seemed very confident. He's taken pressure penalties. He obviously took that huge one for Derby on the last game of the season against Sheffield Wednesday. So I think 99% of Coventry fans would have put their money on Waghorn taking it and scoring. I was surprised that he didn't take it. But
my issue with this is that Yokere should be able to score a penalty, right?
He's
a striker at the end of the day.
I agree. Yeah, I agree.
You know, people can say Waghorn should have taken it, but I just feel like a professional footballer should, you know, Fads could score a penalty.
Yes.
You know, there's no, that's just my view on it, I think. People argue, you know, all the time around who should take penalties, but I don't know. It frustrates me a little bit that, you know, a player can't dispatch a penalty. Oh.
You bang on, and you look at Harry Maguire's penalty for England. You know, that was the best penalty that we scored in the final. So, and I agree. I think I do totally agree. What frustrates me is when you have a situation where there isn't someone who's designated. You know, we know Matty Godden is probably going to take the penalty. He's the penalty taker.
Yeah.
Why is there not the next person in line? Like you had that situation a couple of seasons ago at Man United with Pogba and Rashford almost alternating and then both missing and no one knowing who's taking, you know, what, when. And that frustrates me when I just think, well, who, surely we think, well, if we get the penalty and Matty Godden's not playing, who's taking it? Or, you know, or is it just on an ad hoc basis of, I sort of feel like it. I mean, I totally agree. Jokeres, full of confidence, and, you know, Martin Waghorn's taken to Twitter and spoken. But I believe in Jokeres. I think, you know, he scored, you know, good finish last week. And as a striker, you think you've got a, you know, 12 yards, it's a great opportunity to do it. So if he had scored, no one questions him taking it, do they? So it's only because it was saved.
Exactly.
But I guess people are surprised that Waghorn didn't, because he did take that one against Wolves and Jokeres was on the pitch at the time.
True.
And I sort of thought, well, okay then, because he literally, there was no discussion. I mean, you were there, Wardy. What was there any fight from Waghorn to take it? What did you see?
Not really, no. It didn't really seem like too many people were stepping forwards for it, to be honest.
Right.
From what I could see. Jokeres sort of just had, you know, picked up the ball and had it in his hands. It seemed like he was going to take it. And I thought, that's fine. You know, he seemed pretty confident. He had a decent game. But I agree with you. I think a designated penalty taker makes more sense. I just think knowing who's going to take it will, you know, they know they're the designated one. If they do miss one, it's like, well, you know, I'll score other ones in the season.
Yes.
I do think that's something I'm sure Mark Robbins will address now, won't he?
Because then it becomes a bit of a thing. You know, if he wasn't the penalty taker and he's missed, and then you go, oh, well, does he take the next one to try and redeem it? Or do you know what I mean? And obviously, I know Robbins said that Waghorn will take the next one if he's on the pitch, but you end up in a situation, like you say, if you're the designated penalty taker, you score them, you miss them, you move on, you carry on.
Yeah.
Like Matty Godden, he could miss a penalty, but we go, well, he's our penalty taker. But when it feels a bit sort of like a bit iffy, then people sort of jump on it. And it becomes a bit more of a subject than it should be, really.
Yeah, 100% agree. It wasn't the best penalty, was it, Andy? I know, obviously, if the keeper had gone the other way, it would have looked great. But yeah, just didn't really have enough power behind it, and it was quite easy for the keeper, really. And we've just thrown away a point there, haven't we? To be honest.
Yeah, it's almost like a back pass, isn't it? It's a bit of a hard one because, like you say, if the keeper goes the other way, it goes in the corner, and you know he's reeling off to the Sky Blue Army, isn't it? Yeah,
limbs everywhere.
It's just, yeah, absolutely. You know, that's the fine margins in football, isn't it? But it wasn't far enough in the corner. It was too low on the ground as well, too near the keeper. And as soon as he went that way, you always thought he was going to save it, didn't you, Tom?
Yeah.
Massively disappointed, and massive missed opportunity. And a bit of a debacle with who was taking the penalty, to be honest. It was a bit strange, and what Robbins came out with after the game was a bit odd as well. How he said, "Well, I didn't feel the need to get involved." Well, you're the manager, mate. You need to plan for when someone if we get a penalty.
Yeah, I'm surprised that you'd go out onto a football pitch not knowing who'd take one if we got one.
Exactly.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, there's poor planning.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, if you don't plan to fail, you plan to lose, don't you?
Yeah. No, and exactly. Sure, that's something he'll address, and hopefully, well, I'm sure we'll have more penalties this season. I'll grab a man of the match, Ross.
I thought that, well, there was some really good performances. I sort of feel like giving it to Ian Mattson. I think he did really well. I think you can tell he's got real quality, and he put in some really dangerous balls. Arguably, you know, should have got an assist. If Jokeres almost scuffs that or connects with it slightly more or less, then I think it flies in. Do you know what I mean? He almost just caught it perfectly to bounce and hit the bar. But no, I'd give it to Ian Mattson. I think he's going to be a really good player for us this season. So yes, I'll give it to Mattson.
Yeah, I really like the look of him as well. Andy?
Hamer, for me. I thought he was looking back to near enough better to what he was last season. I thought he had a really good game. I thought his dribbling was good. I thought he had a good free kick that was tipped over the bar. Looked like he was taking a bit more of the game to Barnsley. It looked a bit more like his old self. So hopefully if that continues, that will benefit us massively, because we need him to be back to the form he was first half of last season. And plus, you know, like a Who Scored rating, 7.11, which was the highest of all Sky Blue players.
Not bad. So I have to say, some of his tackling is just unbelievable.
Yeah.
I don't know how he gets the ball out of there sometimes.
No, and he looked a bit more back to his old self, and that will be massively beneficial for us going forward.
You're listening to Sky Blues Extra.
We're now going to move on and preview the upcoming fixtures against Blackpool and Reading. The Sky Blues will travel up north again on Tuesday to take on newly promoted Blackpool. Although they are one of the promoted teams, Ross, this won't necessarily be an easy game, will it?
No, not at all, because obviously they on the opening day, they salvaged a last-minute equaliser against Bristol City. And then obviously on Saturday, they got comfortably beat by a strong Cardiff side at home. So they'll be looking, you know, they've got another home game, and they'll be thinking, well, this is an opportunity now to try and get the first championship win at home. And so it's going to be a tough game. I always feel like Blackpool away always feels like a tough game. When I think back to, well, when I get onto my memory lane pieces, I feel like we've had a load of dodgy. I remember Kevin Kyle getting sent off up there or something.
Biamu got injured there as well, didn't he?
Yeah. He did. Yes, you're right. And I remember Bakayoko was like offside a billion times, and that's where the song started, because everyone was like, "Who is this guy?"
Ross, I remember that Kevin Kyle one. Did we lose like 4-0? Was it Christmas time?
And he'd just come back, hadn't he? He had just got sent off the game before. Served his suspension. And then came back and then got sent off again.
It was miserable. I think, we were in a stand with no roof as well at that point.
Oh yeah, the ground was garbage. It won't be an easy game at all. I mean, it'll be tough, but we've got to go there. And again, this is almost a different challenge, because it'll be the first time, you know, it's like, okay, we've established, you know, we've had a season, we finished 16th. Can we push on again against a team who are in our situation last year? So we need to go there and we need to be on the front foot, but we can't take them lightly, and we can't afford to give them any sniff or any mistakes and give them any chances.
Yeah. Andy, what are you expecting in terms of the lineup for this game?
Interesting, this one, because, you know, when you dominate, I think he's going to... Oh, I don't know. The only thing I think he might bring is Clark Salter in. I think he might come in. Mm. Maybe. But who do you take out? Because Rosie played quite well. But then Higham was poor, but I don't think he's going to drop Higham because he's one of his favourites. Fads he's not going to drop. So I think he might just go with the same team, but maybe obviously Waghorn instead of Walker.
Yeah.
I think that might be the only change, Tom. I think you'll go with the same team, but Waghorn instead of Tyler. Yeah.
Ross, any thoughts on that?
No, I agree. I agree. I think I think Clark Salter definitely could start, but again, it's like Andy said, who do you leave out? But I think the rest of the team sort of picks itself, and Waghorn will come in. Could we see, because of the injury to Tyler Walker, could Matty Godden make the bench? I know Robbins has said he was literally looking really sharp. I don't know. I'd get quite excited if he was on the bench. But
yeah,
I probably think it's probably doubtful. But
we'll see.
Yes, we'll see.
Maybe Bright will be on the bench. Who knows?
I think Bright would be buzzing for Blackpool on a Tuesday night.
Right up his street, that is, isn't it? Yeah, maybe he only plays home games.
I think so. Maybe.
Too far away, Blackpool. Don't thank you, fans, for the pleasure.
He's got better things to do.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ross, what can we expect from Blackpool on their side?
So they've got a couple of players that we know who we've had. Richard Keogh is obviously at the heart of their defence. Grant Ward, who we had on loan.
Oh, yeah.
As Former well.
Ipswich, yeah.
Yes. And they played a 4-4-2 on Saturday. Obviously, Jerry Yates is probably their star man. He signed a new... He was their, obviously, top scorer, one of the top scorers in League One last year. He's got pace. He'll be dangerous. So he's the sort of player you wouldn't want, Higham or Fads sort of giving, in a foot race with. So we need to be wary. They've got some good wingers, CJ Hamilton and Anderson on the wings. They're dangerous. So we've got to, they've got some good players. They've recruited, they were one of the teams who recruited quite a lot, quite early. Everyone was panicking about us and other teams not signing anyone. They were one of the couple of teams who sort of went straight out and were signing. They signed Matty James's brother, Reece James, came in from Doncaster and a few others. But I feel like, they're a decent side, but we should have enough. And I think we have a bit more X factor in our side, Callum O'Hare being the main one to try and to get the 3 points.
Fingers crossed. I'll grab some predictions. Andy?
Score, draw, 1-1.
Ross?
Andy, you're stealing everything I was going to say today. Ooh. I was going to go 1-1. I'll go 2-1, 2-1 commentary.
I was going to say, if you wanted to go 1-1, Ross, we could put that down as our Cov Tweet League prediction.
Yeah. I'll go 1-1 then. That's what I'm sort of thinking.
Do that for the Tweet League anyway. Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. We'll go with a 1-1, and we'd probably take that, to be fair, wouldn't we?
What did we tweet on Saturday?
Well, I think we had we had 0-0. Really boring. What a boring prediction, lads.
Boring people we are.
Yeah. Who predicts a 0-0? So we didn't get any points there, but we'll go again.
We do.
And then we'll move on to talk about the Reading game. Obviously, the Sky Blues will take on Reading at the CBS Arena on Saturday. Reading are one of those teams that are really struggling with their finances this season, Ross. Possibly, we might even see them as a relegation rival this season.
Yes, they're one of the several clubs in the league who are not in necessarily great shape. And they did well last season. Early on, they were top And they finish well, overall in the league. But they are having trouble. They haven't signed anybody. They've lost some of the key players. So it's a game that it'll be the second game at the Coventry Building Society Arena. It's another chance. We want to try and make Coventry a fortress, don't we? I mean, if our away form is going to mirror last season, then we need our home form to be like it was at St Andrews. And if it can be, in a way, I think that's a really good thing, because I think the more we can get those wins and the feel-good factor at home will encourage people to go up to the ground and make a whole day of it and an afternoon. So I think it's a good opportunity to pick up another win. And that's why I think if we could get a draw against Blackpool and knowing that you beat Reading, then I think that would be a decent week.
It definitely would. And obviously it's a home game, Andy, so you'd want us to go out and look for those 3 points, really, wouldn't you?
Yeah, definitely. I think we'll be on the front foot for this one. I think our home form, like last season, is going to be vital for us, because I think our away form is going to be iffy. I think it will be better than last season, but I still don't think it's drastically going to improve. So our home form is going to be vital this season, Tom. And yeah, it's going to be good to see, hopefully, the CBS rocking again. It'll be good to see.
Yeah, definitely. And Ross, we know Reading were really strong last season. Obviously, they were top of the league for quite a while until we knocked them off their perch. They've lost a couple of their key players, haven't they, in the summer? So what can we expect from them? What sort of game is this going to be?
I think it'll be a tough game. I mean, they beat Preston on the weekend 2-1. Like you say, they lost a couple of key players. Michael Olise going to Crystal Palace probably being their biggest loss. But they've got some good players still. Lucas Joao, we know. Josh Laurent in midfield. John Swift as well. They've got some good players. So despite losing, you know, a couple of the star men and not being able to add any, it isn't going to be an easy game. And it's the sort of game where I feel like if we're a few percent off, we'll get punished, but if we're on the ball, then we can certainly do something. So they were, you know, they've been involved in, you know, quite a lot of goals. They obviously lost on the opening day 3-2 away at Stoke, and then obviously beating Preston. So there's certainly goals in their games. They can certainly concede them, but they're obviously a threat going forward as well. So we're going to have to be on our game as we are in every team we face this league. But Reading's the sort of team where I agree, and like you'd mentioned, Wardy, I think it's a game that we need to try and get 3 points. You know, your home games against these sort of sides who aren't going to be, I don't think, as anywhere near as where they were last season. If anything, they could be struggling. So we need to try and make the most of that.
Mm, definitely. And hopefully, with it being a 3 p.m. kickoff on a Saturday, Andy, we'd expect a decent crowd inside the ground and hopefully a buzzing atmosphere like we had against Forest.
Yeah, I don't know how many they'll bring. Do you, Tom?
Not many. I don't know. Well, I mean, I think they took about 800 to Stoke, didn't they? So
they don't
travel that well, I don't think. So
no, they don't.
The away end won't be packed out, but hopefully, you know, similar to Forest in the home end.
Yeah, definitely. We need to carry on that, don't we? And hopefully the only way to carry on people coming is by getting decent results, isn't it, Tom? Yeah. If we get another decent result under our belts on Saturday, then that will make more people come along for a future game. So, no, vital that we try and get 3 points on Saturday against Reading.
Yeah, 100%. We'll grab some predictions, Andy.
2-0, Cov.
Nice, confident. Ross? Yeah.
3-0.
Ooh. Ooh, that would be nice.
Who wants the casting vote for the tweet
Andy,
league?
You go for the casting vote this time.
Yeah.
Let's go for Ross. You know, 3-0. Let's be extra confident. Yeah, come on.
To be honest,
we were extra boring.
What do you think,
Wardy?
Yeah.
So let's go.
Yeah, I'll back a 3-0 as well.
I can't get over that you went for a 0-0 for Barnsley when you were going up there, Wardy. You were travelling up.
No, I didn't pick the Barnsley prediction, to be fair.
Let's get 3-0 then.
We'll go 3-0. You've got to be bold with these things, haven't you?
We have.
And for anyone else taking part in the Cov Tweet League, do make sure you get your predictions in for Tuesday and Saturday. Chaps, that's all we've got time for this evening. Thanks, as always, for joining me. And listeners, do make sure you check out our partners, Shortland Horn, across their Facebook, Instagram and Twitter pages. And as always, you can get involved in the conversation. All you need to do is use the hashtag SkyBluesExtraPodcast.
Thanks for listening to the Sky Blues Extra Podcast.